In the New Testament, depending on where you're looking, here's the one Bible website that I often use for my research just to pull some passages from. On there, if you're looking for the word cake, I found it actually two different times. One time it said there was 21 results for the New King James Version that it was used in both Old Testament and New Testament. And then I was double-checking this morning, and it said there was 33 times it was used. So you'll have to investigate that yourself. And again, that's the New King James Version, so it's Englishized. May not mean the same thing, but there were certainly a number of those. So my challenge to you is after we leave today, go back and look at those verses and see what they're talking about. Some of them are pretty ordinary. Some of them are a little bit strange, but we'll be talking about it. Okay, I've got a lot of material. I spent too much time trying to get this together, so I'm going to try to focus on what this is. Now, this is going to be very important. So kids, adults alike, pay attention to this disclaimer. Anytime that you're about to do something that requires you pay extra special attention to the conditions of you, there's a disclaimer. So, it is very likely that due to the content of the slides within this PowerPoint presentation, viewers may become hungry. Their mouths may water, they may become lightheaded, anxious, or become unfocused. And I thought about taking that last part out. I was like, well, that's exactly what I don't want to do, is have you get unfocused with my lesson. I want you to pay attention to me, not the content. So that's what I'm going to again. Viewer discretion is advised. So as long as everybody's got that, I need your thumbs up, and we'll keep on going. All right, baking a cake. This is one of my favorite, right there. Now, I mentioned before, you people that like to make from scratch, you look at that and you're like, that is so wrong. I don't even want to see this lesson. I'm ready to walk out. I'm wanting to go over to Kettering or go down south. Baking a cake. This is one of my favorites. Now, there's some people that know how to make some pretty good bake from scratch. Mom does. Edith does. I know for Edith, this is the wrong type of cake. It should be a chocolate cake, but so these kind of things make me feel good. And even when I'm working on this lesson, I kept that real big box on there. I had to find the biggest image I could find on Google because it just looked so good. And every time I'd start getting frustrated, I was like, man, that cake looks good. And I would be invigorated, and I'd just keep on going. So what is a cake? We always seem to have our lessons start off with a definition. Well, as you see up there, I've got letters A, B, C, D, and E. That's typically what makes up a cake as we know it, a dessert cake. So A and B, they're actually two different layers. I actually kind of messed this up a little bit because some of the instructions talk about using a round cake, two pans of round cakes and stacking them. But then in our second lesson, I actually use a rectangle pan that's one piece of cake that you'd have to cut. So anyway, the way a cake works is you take two different pieces of a baked product, you slice it in half, you put frosting on the one, which it shows there on letter C is the frosting on the first layer. So, and then on letter A, you put frosting on top of that, after it's stacked on top of letter B, and then you frost the whole thing. And then if you really want to get creative, you can make the top of the icing look good, which is one of my favorite things to do. I love taking those little dabbers and putting it on there just to get that texture. And then you can really go crazy by putting a fruit on there. So you have something that's completely not good for you, and you put a little bit of something that's good for you on there, and it makes it even better, right? We know what that is. All right, so I look out to all of you, and somebody says, hey, Roger, I want a cake. Okay, well, my first question to you is, okay, what kind and what for? Do you want a birthday cake? Do you want a wedding cake? How about a graduation cake? Are you about to retire? Are you going to have a retirement cake? Or is there another celebration that you want it for there? And again, I just can't stop putting that, that just looks so good right there. So why do we want cakes? Well, it's a celebration thing. I mean, most of us typically think of a birthday cake when we think of cakes. Now, we'll see in a second, I list some things on here. So what are my cake choices? I'm talking about Duncan Hines strawberry cake, so that's what we're talking about mostly today. But what other options do I have? A website, ranker.com, not ranker as in the bad thing, but ranker.com, lists the most delicious cakes. I try to put URLs on here. List their top 100 most delicious cakes as ranked on their site. And this is not them ranking it. This is users ranking it. Now, this is a real challenge for me because as I was going back and referring to the site, users were constantly upping the choices. So even though I started off with one thing, somebody said, oh, I actually like this cake. So it was going up higher into the categories. So I just stopped it where I could, and I list the top 100. So here's the top 20 of their top 100. Again, there's that disclaimer again, just a reminder so you don't get lightheaded or hungry or anything like that. It's a little bit astonishing when you start thinking about how many cakes were. I went through the top 20, and I was like, I hadn't even thought about that. Some of these don't even see cake in them, but they are, by definition, a cake. And then I went through the rest of the 80 that they had listed. I was like, I can't believe it. you'll notice in here that there's typically a favorite people have, and you can see chocolate, 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 chocolate. It's all over the place on there. So Edith knew what to do when she was making her chocolate cakes. So what are the options we have? Number one, top choice, at least as I captured it yesterday, from 1 to 20, chocolate cake, cheesecake, ice cream cake. So Dairy Queen's got to love that. Carrot cake, lemon cake, coffee cake, chocolate mousse cake. I think they just added that on there because it really didn't apply. Red velvet cake, molten chocolate cake. I've had most of these, except for the carrot cake. I won't really talk about that one. German chocolate cake, another one of my family's favorites. Strawberry shortcake, chocolate pudding cake, tiramisu, doesn't say cake, but still, again, by definition, a cake. I thought it was interesting here. I've heard of these both for all my life. I thought it was funny that they got 14 and 15 right beside each other. Devil's food cake, the chocolate version. Angel food cake, number 15, right beside each other. Boston cream pie, again, by definition, a cake. Pound cake, black forest cake, white cake, and a Swiss roll. Not a cake as we know it, but still in the qualifications on there. So that's the top 20. So why do we ask questions there? Okay, why do I say, well, what kind of cake do you want? Well, I want to know what your intended cake is, what is what you are looking for. So are there choices for cakes? We just went through the list. There's at least 100 on that list, and out of that 100, I just showed you 20. So absolutely, there are choices, and there's many of them. But when we switch over to religion, is there a choice? As with all of our lessons, I try to take a little bit of the physical, a little bit of the fun, in this case, a little bit of the appetite, and help us think about spiritual things. So what's our choices when we're talking about religion? The Register is a website in the UK. There's their URL. And this is what they show for the choices of religion. Same graphic, except I took out all of the cake names and I put the top 20 religions in the world. Pay attention to this. Number one, Christianity. I put that in quotes. It was not on their original website. 2.1 billion people in the world say that they are Christians. 1.3 billion says they have the Islamic faith. Number three, non-religious, secular, agnostic, atheist. It sounds like a religion there, but if you actually look at what number three is, 1.1 billion people basically don't believe in religion. They don't believe in God. Number four, Hinduism, 900 million. Number five, Chinese traditional religion, 394 million. Buddhism, 376 million. Number seven, primal indigenous, 300 million. Number eight, African traditional and despotic, 100 million. Sikhism, number nine, 23 million. Jewish, 19 million. I may give some of these pronunciations right, but I think are incorrect, but I have most of them right. Number 11, spiritualism. We just talked about that on our Wednesday study. 15 million. Number 12, Judaism. We talked about people still practicing. 14 million. Number 13, Baha'i, 7 million. 14, Jainism, 4.2 million. 15, Shinto, 4 million. Number 16, Kyodai, 4 million. Number 17, Zoroastrianism, 2.6 million. 18, Tenrikyo, 2 million. Number 19, Neo-Paganism, 1 million. And number 20, Unitarian or Universalism, 800,000. So again, we talked about the choices of cakes. There's a lot of them. Talk about the choices of religion. By human standards, there's a lot of them. Those are the top 20. So, I don't know if you can see that very well. I can barely see it here. I listed basically all the things that we'd mentioned a couple slides ago about, okay, what are my cake choices? Why do we ask the question? Are there choices? Yes, there's many. But what about religion? So here I ask, is there really a choice when it comes to religion? There's my strawberry box again. And talking about cakes versus religion, is there really a difference between what I want, what all of you may want, or what the world may want, and what God wants? Again, we're talking about cakes because if I want a cake for me, I want a specific kind of cake, and I will be happy and very pleased if that's what I get. If I get something completely different, I'll be kind of let down, especially if it's one that I don't like. Religion is a lot like that, and especially when we're talking about God, there is something that he likes, not only likes, he expects from us, and we need to see what that is. Humans like to make the idea of liking a cake and getting a cake versus liking a religion and choosing and taking part in a religion the same choices. It's what I want, what the person wants. So again, we got all these things listed on here. How do we make each one of those? If I want to make a cheesecake, and you see what it looks like up there in number 2, if I make it and I cook it in such a way and I use the ingredients for number 17, a pound cake, am I going to get that right cake? What about angel food cake? If I start making an angel food cake, am I expecting to get a coffee cake, number 6? All these things have a specific list of ingredients. They need to be prepared in a certain way, and they need to be presented in a certain way in order to be the cake or dessert that you want. So what's God's choice? Let's look at some passages. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body. We've talked about this verse so many times, but it is key to every time we get together. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Pay attention to those other alls that I've got underlined there, because if you say there's one, 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 then you've established that. But then it says above all, through all, and in you all, you have all the other choices at the bottom, and that one is over the top. It's always there. Mark 9, 7, and a cloud came, and again, I want you to be thinking about this idea of choices. Think about this as a choice. We're picking cakes, but spiritually, what are we picking? And how do we make those decisions? How are they made? Mark 9, 7, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of heaven, out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When Peter and the other apostles that went with Jesus and they witnessed the transfiguration, Peter was so unsure of what to say. He's like, "Hey, let's make a tabernacle for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus." He was ready to make a selection between three different things, three different people that had a significant role to play in religion. And God, through the voices that we have here, says, "No, ignore Moses, ignore Elijah. This is my beloved Son. Hear him." He says, "This is my choice. This is what I want." So again, that box again. So what does it take for me to have one of my favorite cakes? Well, here's some ingredient lists. Like I said, if you're a bake-from-scratch person, you could ignore this or you could turn your nose at it, whatever you want to do. First of all, what do I need to have a strawberry Duncan Hines cake mix? Well, I need to have the cake mix. I need to have 1 cup of water, and for you younger people who want to write this down, you can try it yourselves, 1/3 of vegetable oil, cup of vegetable oil, and 3 large eggs. I also, again, this is where the contradiction comes from. This, the idea here is taking 2 8-inch pans to cook 2 different cakes in to stack them on top of each other. Glennon mentioned how long it takes to cook a cake, so it's 26 to 29 minutes. I'm going to try to get under that time today, so you guys just keep paying attention. The baking instructions. I'm not going to read all these on here, but this is what the box tells you. Preheat the oven, 350 degrees. Talks about the difference between metal pans and glass pans. The darker the pan is, the temperature actually decreases because of the way that it cooks. You probably all are aware of that. You have to grease the sides and bottoms of the pan. You don't want the cakes to stick. When you blend the mix of water, it tells you how to take all these things, put them together, and you have to beat them up there. Pay attention to that, because on the second lesson, we're going to see some things on there. It says, mix them in a large bowl at low speeds until moistened for about 30 seconds. So it takes a little bit of time. Beat at medium speed for 2 minutes. And then finally, bake it at the chart below, let it cool, and then you basically frost it. So is just a cake mix? Is it just those few things we need? Eggs, oil, water, cake mix. Hey, that's just 4 things, right? Let's look at the ingredients for what's actually in a package of Duncan Hines cake mix. I'm not going to read all these things, but this should surprise you a little bit. I saw that and I clicked on the website. I was like, I wonder what is inside there, because Mom and I were talking about if you bake from scratch, what are you going to have to get? Well, are you going to go through all these things and find them? And the reason I wanted to talk to Mom about that is because I remember when I was a kid, and maybe some of you experienced this too when you were younger, Mom put a real bake-from-scratch cake in the oven, and you're running through the house. You're like, "Whoa, stop running!" Or you slammed the door, "Don't do that!" It's like, what's the big deal? Make my cake. Well, the cake could actually fall. That's what it means. It just actually collapses. The rising agents within the cake, if it's left to go from a bake-from-scratch, the yeast will rise up, and then the cake will actually congeal. So before Duncan Hines cakes, what did they do? Then going back to Mom, she had the same idea I was talking about. Well, they went to the chicken coop. They got eggs from the chickens. First of all, they had to have chickens or go to town to get chickens to get the eggs from. They had to go out to the barn to milk the cow for milk. had to make the butter often, or they would have to purchase the butter, had to get or remake the flour. Years before that, they actually had to get the grain and completely do that whole process. They had to heat the wood stove. In my mom's case, she's talking about her grandma. It's not easy. You go switch the range on and wait for it to go beep, beep, beep. Oh, it's ready. It's preheated. I can go and cook my cake and then set the timer and forget about it until my show's over. No, you actually had to build the fire inside the stove. You had to have wood, so the wood had to be created. You had to get salt, baking powder, yeast, sugar. What about the magical? This came to mind because Mom was saying that one of her favorite things, what her grandma would make, was a white cake. And I was like, a white cake? Why would you only want a white cake? Well, there's less color. You don't have to worry about food coloring. How would you get coloring without food coloring? Well, back then, you didn't have coloring. So berries and things like that were the only ways you could do that, and lots of stirring. There were no nonstick pans. There was no Pyrex and no electronic timers. I had no timers at all, but I was like, well, they probably had sand timers for a long time, but just an idea. And most of all, there was no package of frosting or cake mix, so you actually had to do something on there. So if we want the ingredients for pure religion, where can we turn to? Romans 15:4. This is the best ingredient list here. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So how do I know, if I want to make a cake, if I don't have a recipe book, aren't I going to have some knowledge of what it takes to make a cake? Most cases, aren't we going to refer to? How many of you that like to cook have a recipe book? You know that you've made something 20 or 30 or 40 times, but you still go back to the book just to make sure you're following the directions right. Well, that's kind of what this passage, and these are the passages that I was looking for this lesson. This is talking about the Old Testament, going back and looking what God taught to know what I need to be today. And this is them talking in the early church. So as a present Christian, what do I need to look back to? I need to look back what Paul and the apostles taught in the New Testament, and I need to go back even further to the Old Testament to understand what my quote-unquote cake is, or the product of my life is for God today. John 21, verses 24 through 25. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Talk about a long, big, tall recipe book. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." Why would he say this? Because they were trying to talk to him about something that he was disagreeing with, and he's saying, "Hey, you've had this recipe book. Why are you not going back and looking at it? I'm here. I'm here today. Look at me. I'm a product of everything that was in that ingredient list." Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses on all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." Again, going back and saying, "Hey, look, I am it. I am what you were looking for." Romans 16:25-27, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest." That idea of manifest is bringing into fruition, making it a substance. That's what in it we're talking about cakes. A cake is manifest when the baking is complete, when you've got it all ready to go. The spiritual part of our service to God is made manifest when all the ingredients that we pull onto us are also fulfilled. "And by prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith to God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So if we want the ingredients for pure religion, where do we turn to? Well, you should know that picture right there probably said Holy Bible on it or Bible on it, and it did. I cloned out the word Bible and I put recipe on book on there. You guys have heard me talk a lot of times in class, whether I've been a student or whether I've been up here, I've held up my Bible and I said, "This is a recipe book." That's exactly what it is. It tells us how to get the products that God's looking for. And that's what we need to look at. So as I asked the question there, if we want the ingredients for pure, true religion, not all that list of 20 that I showed or the thousands more that I didn't show, where do we turn to? What purpose does a recipe book serve? First of all, it tells the goal. You scroll through there, everybody that's got a recipe book. Am I looking for cookies? Am I looking for cake? Am I looking for bread? What am I looking for? Oh, that's what I'm looking for. So you find your goal. My purpose is to make this, and that's what it says. Secondly, what are the requirements? Well, I can't just make a cake if I don't have the ingredients. If I don't have water or the cake mix, or if you're baking from scratch, I don't have all those things at home, I can't make it. And I've got to have those ingredients. What about the directions? Sure, I could have all the things that I need to on the counter, but if I don't know what to do with them, I'm probably not going to get those pictures of the right product the way that they were shown to me earlier. I need to know amounts, how long they need to cook for, how much time to spend, and how to finish. I think this is probably one of the most important things. A cake is not a cake in our minds until it's actually fully frosted. Well, a Christian is not really a Christian until we're, quote-unquote, fully frosted, until we are showing every bit of the attributes of Christ in our lives as much as possible. So, does my cake permit the following? I don't know how well you can see those up there. Hopefully some of you know what that is. Does my cake permit the ingredient of adding avocados to it? No, probably not. I don't see anything in there. What about yams or sweet potatoes? Does my cake permit yams or sweet potatoes being inside there? Probably not. I'm going to have to get going here. What about coconuts? What about olives? No, none of those are on the ingredients list. And I really want us to be thinking about this. I didn't spend enough time on there, but this is what a lot of people do with religion. They add content that has nothing to do with the product that God is after, and they try to make it work out. So, why? Well, these don't work. These are not inside the recipe or inside the directions. Also, side note, none of those things are things I like. So I don't like coconut, I don't like avocado, I don't like sweet potatoes, and I don't like olives. There's a reason those are on there. Can I leave these out of my cake? Can I leave out the mix? Can I leave out the vegetable oil? Can I leave out the eggs? Can I leave out the water? And why not? Well, if I did, then I wouldn't have the cake as directed. It's not what I wanted. Revelations 22:18-19, for I testified everyone who hears the words of this prophecy in this book, if anyone adds to this book, talks about what God will take away, and if anybody adds to it, God will add to them the plagues. Jesus talks about all authority has been given to me, that we are to go and make disciples of other nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baking a cake. Out of these all religions here, where do you find yourself? You look at your attributes. Are you finding yourself as a Christian, or one of these other religions that are listed on here? That's all I've got for the first lesson. The second lesson is going to be talking about actually taking and putting those products together and how important it is to get them mixed up properly. If there's anything that you see in your life that you're lacking, and I know we've gone through a lot quickly today, but just please be thoughtful of that. Take these metaphors and stick them in your brain and help you look at yourself as a Christian. If there's anything that we can do, please open your songbooks and stand and sing the song that's been selected.